8th of December.
The Son and the Holy Spirit. Please do take your seats. So today we are thinking about the prophets, and after 400 silent years, God is speaking through a new prophet. John the Baptist bursts onto the scene, preaching to his fellow Jews, calling them to repentance. His work is carried out in the wilderness, and he asks that we prepare the way for the Lord. Well, we're in the second week of Advent, so we are indeed being reminded that we need to be prepared for our Lord's return, and that we're also preparing for Christmas, where we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus. Christmas, it's getting very close now, isn't it? The countdown to Christmas, to celebrating the birth of our Lord and Saviour. Well, that's what the church is doing. But out there, out in the wilderness of our secular society, how are preparations going, I wonder? Well, I have seen with my own eyes that there are messengers and great signs, but not from prophets and heavenly hosts. No, out there in the wilderness, Christmas is heralded in with billboards showing the perfect family wearing the perfect Christmas pyjamas. And on TV, there's advert after advert telling us to buy this deluxe chocolate bomb pudding or that mobile phone to make this Christmas perfect. Has anyone seen the Lidl TV advert? Well, that is priceless. Lidl even goes as far as to promise us a Christmas we can believe in. Well, what can Lidl offer us other than food and drink and presents? I guess those things do help us to have good times for families and friends, and that's great. I'll be enjoying a Christmas dinner and some present unwrapping, of course. But the Christmas I believe in has nothing to do with Lidl or any other shop for that matter. It seems that the waiting world is confused about exactly what we're waiting for. And those John preached to also sometimes missed the point. In verse 7, we hear John rebuke the Pharisees and Sadducees. But why? They're coming from baptism. Surely that's a good thing. Well, there are a couple of thoughts. The first is that the Pharisees and Sadducees were known, let's face it, for surrounding their religious activities with pretension. While other Jews understood, did they understand that the washing of John's baptism of repentance symbolised a radical cleaning up of a person's life? To repent isn't just to say sorry. It's a fundamental turning around involving mind and action, enabling that fruit that Matthew talks about to be produced. And this is a one-time-only washing, not like the customary ritual washings of the temple. So to make his point, John poses a question with a hint of sarcasm. Basically what he's saying is, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath and come for baptism, when in fact you show no outward signs of repentance? John knows that the coming of God's reign requires repentance or brings judgment. And therefore, if we've truly repented, our lifestyle would be in accord with the verbal repentance. Or maybe the issue was that the temple leaders had not come for baptism. Some translations of the reading say that they had come to where John was baptising. Maybe they had just come to see what was going on. I guess that they could well have felt uneasy that the remission of sins was being given without the need to go to the temple in Jerusalem. They didn't have to go there to offer sacrifice anymore. The power of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and their worth was being undermined. Either way, they were missing the point. The message wasn't getting through. They didn't get it. Maybe they felt that everything in their life was good and that there was no need for a major internal overhaul. Thankfully, though, many did realise, and they flocked from Jerusalem out into the wilderness, seeking renewal. And they also got the promise of the long-awaited Messiah, who was to later administer baptism of spirit and fire that would purify and refine. Now, it's interesting, isn't it, that at that time, way back then, the people were coming out of the temple and into the wilderness, seeking John, having no doubt heard from others what this baptism of repentance was doing in their lives. And this is, of course, pre-resurrection, pre-Pentecost. This baptism is only in preparation for the fulfillment that would come through Christ. And now, we who are sharing the good news in all its glory have the ultimate gift of freedom, love, hope, peace, and joy to offer. But we have to venture out of the church and into the wilderness. We have to go out there to seek those who are desperately in need of God's healing grace. Is the message getting out there, though? Is it getting through? It feels as though the God of Mammon has hijacked Christmas and material objects are worshipped before the Son of God. A most holy time of year, celebrating the humble birth of our Saviour, the greatest gift of all, now in stark contradiction, tempts people to spend excessively, even leading to debt in the new year, as people strive to keep up with those around and leaving those who cannot keep up with the feeling of helplessness. That's not a Christmas to believe in. That's not what God was intending when he sent his Son to live and die for us. That's not the message of hope that was being preached by John the Baptist. But is it possible to compete with the instant gratification being offered by the world? Well, of course it is. John walked in the wilderness proclaiming the coming of the kingdom, and people went to him searching for something more. Now, we don't need to go about it in quite the same way as John. We don't need to wander around waving our arms saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." But every day we are walking out there in the wilderness. And we have opportunities every day to share the love and hope that Christ offers in simple and gentle ways. So many people are searching, knowing that they are in need of something more, but perhaps not knowing what that something more is. Just as 2,000 years ago, God was working through John, today God is working his purpose out through us. And we have a message of hope and love to proclaim that can really give people a Christmas to believe in. Should we pray? Father God, we thank you for this special and holy time of year. And we thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity to share your light and your love in the world. We pray, Lord, that we hold on steadfast to our faith knowing that the light does shine brightly in the darkness and the darkness will not overcome it. And we just pray, Lord, for your goodness and your grace upon us as we go out there into the wilderness. Help us to be courageous, and Lord, give us the strength and your love as we speak to all those we meet every day. Amen.
Amen.